Western Australia Police say Optus did not contact them about customers' inability to reach emergency services for almost 24 hours and did not brief them about the scale and impact of an outage before issuing public press release. WA Police say Optus first told them on Thursday night that 26 people had tried to call the police and failed. Detective Superintendent Simone van der Sluis says it took the telco until Friday to tell the state's police that a further 149 calls had not made it through the 000 phone service to reach them in an outage between Wednesday and Thursday.
Sadly, throughout the course of checking on those 149 West Australians, it was identified that a second person attempting to contact 000 during that outage has died.
Both fatalities linked to the Optus outage in Western Australia will be investigated by the state's coroner. The death of a third person in South Australia has also been linked to the Optus outage. Optus CEO has apologised and the company is conducting its own investigation along with the federal and state governments. The Optus 000 outage has spread to another state, with the telco revealing that at least two customers in New South Wales were unable to reach emergency services. The outage has been linked to four deaths so far, with several investigations underway, including by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. Liberal spokesperson for small business, Tim Wilson, told Channel 9 he believes accountability should rest with Optus CEO, Stephen Roo.
I can't see how he's going to survive based on the public pressure and when you've got four people who have died because of it. Exactly as Thomas said, it's disgraceful and it should never have happened, but how the ball can stand by and not think there should be accountability is beyond me.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has arrived in New York for a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly, where Australia is expected to recognise a Palestinian state. Mr. Albanese is also under pressure to secure a face-to-face meeting with US President Donald Trump after a meeting on the sidelines of the G7 fell through in June. He says the summit also presents an important opportunity to push for climate action after Australia announced its 2035 emissions target this week.
Well, I'm very proud to be representing Australia at the United Nations this week. This is the first time I've been here as Prime Minister. It's an opportunity to advance Australia's economic, national security, and of course our related environmental interests as well, given that climate change will be front and centre of the United Nations General Assembly this week.
As part of this international trip, the Prime Minister will also visit the UK and the United Arab Emirates. Major European airports, including Brussels, Berlin and London's Heathrow, have been hit by a cyber attack on check-in systems that caused cancellations and long delays for thousands of passengers. The problems were centred on Muse software made by Collins Aerospace, which provides systems at 170 airports globally. Collins Aerospace parent company, RTX, said the impact of the attack was limited to electronic customer check-in and baggage drop and can be mitigated with manual check-in operations. Paul Charles, aviation and travel expert, said the incident was uncommon and deeply worrying.
This is a very clever cyber attack indeed, because it's affected a number of airlines and airports at the same time. Not just one airport or one airline, but they've got into the core system that enables airlines to effectively check in many of their passengers at different desks at different airports around Europe. This is highly significant.
At Heathrow, Berlin and Brussels, 29 flight departures and arrivals had been cancelled as of midday on Saturday. Riot police and protesters have clashed outside the presidential palace in Manila during a major anti-corruption rally in the Philippines. At least 17 people were arrested after demonstrators set fire to a barricade and threw rocks at police, who used a water cannon to quell the unrest. Around 50,000 people turned out to the protest, furious over alleged kickbacks to politicians from flood control projects in areas devastated by deadly storms. Flood victim turned activist Althea Trinidad says inequality is rife.
I feel bad that we wallow in poverty, we lose our homes, our lives and our future, while they rake in a big fortune from our taxes that pay for luxury cars, foreign trips and bigger corporate transactions. We want to shift to a system where people will no longer be abused.
Singaporean football legend Fandi Ahmad is calling for Australian teams to return to the top-flight Singaporean league. Fandi Ahmad was greeted by fans at Perth Airport as he arrived in Australia on Sunday. The 63-year-old was the first Singaporean to play in Europe, sharing the pitch with the likes of Diego Maradona and Johan Cruyff. It's been more than 30 years since Australian clubs played in Singapore's league, but in an interview with SBS, Ahmed says it would help grow local talent.
The league will be better, but we need to win the hearts of the fans because we are a very small country. We have 8 or 9 teams now, and we have all the other clubs coming in. We invite others to come to make the league. I believe to help the national team to be stronger, we must have a strong league.
In 1994, the Perth Kangaroos won the Singaporean League unbeaten, but folded immediately after due to cost pressures. And more in sport, Australian Nicola Asalagas has won gold in the high jump at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo, with a jump clearing 2 metres in the pouring rain. Queenslander Kai Robinson finished fourth in the men's 5,000-metre final, storming home in the final lap to cross the line in 12 minutes 59.61 seconds. In the 800-metre final, Jess Hull finished eighth as Kenyan Lillian Adira claimed gold to set the new championship record. And there was disappointment for Australia in the men's 4x100-metre relay final as Caleb Law dropped the baton, with American sprint sensation Noah Lyles leading the US to gold. Penrith has crushed Canterbury Bankstown 46-26, keeping their hopes of a fifth consecutive NRL premiership alive. The Panthers played a near-perfect first half, going to the break nearly 30 points up, scoring 6 tries to 1 and destroying any hope the Bulldogs had of rescuing their season. With the Bulldogs gaining points back in the second half, with Jacob Preston, Bronson Cherry and Jacob Carraz all scoring. Penrith captain Nathan Cleary said the victory has given them confidence for Sunday, the 5th of October, when they'll face the Broncos at Lang Park.
It's sort of been weird the last 2 weeks. I probably felt much more nerves going into the games, just not really knowing how they're going to go. But to the young guys' credit, like the way they started the game today in particular, under a fair bit of pressure. So it's given all of us a lot more confidence that, you know, those guys can perform in big games. And they've proven that throughout the year too, and they just seem to be getting better and better.
And for today in the weather, Monday 22nd of September, Perth is sunny at 27, Broome is sunny at 28, Darwin is seeing possible showers at 34, and Alice Springs is sunny at 20. Thursday Islands are cloudy at 29, Cairns is cloudy at 27, Brisbane is sunny at 29. Sydney is seeing a shower or two at 22, Canberra has showers developing at 17. Albury-Wodonga is cloudy at 11, Melbourne is seeing a shower or two at 14. Hobart has showers at 13, and Adelaide is seeing cloud clearing at 18. And that wraps up the latest in the news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio.